Thank you, Josh Barker. Merry Christmas. I want to welcome you tonight to the second of two Christmas Eve services, the first time we've ever tried that, because and mostly related to COVID, so that we could have ample room to spread out. We do miss, in a sense, having everybody here, but I'm glad you're here, and we're going to have a different service tonight than we've had in years past. We're breaking the church saying, but that's the way we've always done it. All right, we're branching out tonight, and you will soon see how. Let me give you a couple of quick announcements. We no longer, if you worship with us regularly, you know we no longer pass the offering plate. You passed as you entered a collection box, and everything given tonight, and we've done this for every Christmas Eve service in the history of this church. Any amount you give tonight in the offering box will go toward the PCA Ministerial and Relief Fund. This is a fund that goes particularly to help the widows of pastors and missionaries in our denomination. So everything given tonight goes to that fund if you desire to give toward it. And the last thing I would just remind you that this Sunday and the Sunday following, December 27th, January 3rd, there'll be no school of discipleship, no Sunday school, as we call it. But we will have worship at 10:30. Well, we want to draw our attention now to remembering, as the saying often goes, the reason for the season, why we are gathered and why we want to celebrate Christmas together and what that means for us. This is a season in which we do need to be reminded of why we have joy, no matter our circumstances. So that will be our focus tonight. So why don't you take a moment as Josh again plays for us, and let's pray and ask God to prepare us and to equip us to worship Him this Christmas Eve. We celebrate the season of Advent here, the season of preparation. And so for each of the four Sundays of Advent leading up to tonight, we light a candle each Sunday morning in worship. And it always culminates on Christmas Eve with the lighting of the Christ candle. And I've asked Kirby and Kelly Moore if they would come and lead us in our call to worship and the lighting of the Christ candle. Let me ask you, if you would, to reference your worship folder and stand as they lead us in the call to worship. Kirby, you'll need to get that microphone and make sure it's turned on.
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
He lights his candle as a sign of the coming light.
People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined.
Come, Lord Jesus, our light and life.
Would you pray with me? Oh God, come to you tonight to rejoice in the good news of the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus, He who is the light of the world. Father, we desire to be reminded of our reasons for joy and to recapture the joy of the gospel, the joy of Christ, the Son of God, given for us. All that happens tonight, Father, we pray you'll be pleased with it. You'll meet with us and that you'll even change us and that we'll leave joyful. We ask that in and through your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you remain standing, would you take your hymnal and turn to hymn 195. We're going to sing together Joy to the World, hymn 195.
Please be seated. Welcome, everybody, and Merry Christmas once again. It's so good to be here, isn't it? Tonight, we have your HLPC players offering our production of Our Lord's Coming. This is a direct quote from Luke chapter 1, 26 through Luke chapter 2, verse 38. And it is our hope that you will worship us and join together with these angels and these real people into whom our Lord Jesus Christ came, with Mary and Joseph, with Gabriel, with Zechariah and Elizabeth, with Simeon and Anna. So without any further ado, may we present Our Lord's Coming.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said,
"Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you."
She was greatly troubled at that saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end."
And Mary said to the angel,
"How shall this be, since I am a virgin?"
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God."
And Mary said,
"Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word."
And the angel departed from her.
In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry,
Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it that my Lord should come to me? And for behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who has believed that the fulfillment of what has been spoken to her.
And Mary said,
my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. My soul will magnify the Lord. I rejoice in God my Savior, in the wonder of his favor. For he has done great things for me. He was mindful of his servant. Every age shall call me blessed. The hope of Abraham come in the giving of a son. For he who promised is mighty in remembering his mercy. My soul will magnify the Lord for his grace to those who fear him. Through every generation, the proud he scatters to the wind, as the ruler's strength is broken, and the rich are left with nothing. The hope of Abraham come in the giving of a son. Our portion and our treasure, our hope and help forever. My soul will magnify the Lord. I rejoice in God my Savior, in the wonder of his favor.
Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered,
no, he shall be called John.
And they said to her, none of your relatives are called by this name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered, and immediately his mouth was open, and his tongue loose. And he spoke, blessed be God, and fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will the child be from the hand of the Lord who was with him? And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying,
blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore by our father Abraham, to grant that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise will visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them,
"Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest! And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased.
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the law, the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said,
"Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory for your people Israel."
And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother,
"Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed."
And there
the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband for 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
Everyone.
Why don't you take your hymnals now and turn to number 203. Let's stand and sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. 203. Please have a seat. I don't think any Christmas Eve service is complete unless you sing Away in a Manger. And so that should be open before you. Let's sing all three stanzas of Away in a Manger. You'll see in your worship folder that tonight you don't have a message or a sermon. What's listed is a homily. So I thought I'd impress you with greater use of my vocabulary by using homily. And to make sure that I was accurate in how I would define a homily, I Googled the term this afternoon. And one of the first definitions that popped up for a homily was this: a tedious, moralizing discourse. That's not what I want to... This may be the first and last time we have a homily here at Houston Lake Presbyterian Church. A better definition is a very short sermon. It's more of a meditation. And the meditation will be this: what is it that we are celebrating? What is it that we heard and witnessed portrayed a few moments ago? What's the message behind Christmas or the season? I watched a TV show one time where that question was put in the course of the show. What is Christmas about? And the answer was, well, Christmas is about the birth of a baby. And that was the answer. Well, Christmas is much more than the birth of a baby. It means much more than that. And a great passage that just encapsulates what Christmas, the birth of Christ, the coming of Christ means is found in Titus chapter 2. I'm going to read that for us. We're really going to zero in on verse 11. I want to read verses 11 through 14 for us. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking for grace, mercy, and help to understand your word, to apply it, to understand what it means for Jesus to come, to be the gift, the greatest gift that we celebrate at this season of the year. We pray for your mercy to understand and to rejoice in that good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What does the season mean? What does the message of Luke really mean? Well, verse 11 of Titus 2 is just a great summary statement. It's easy to memorize. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. That's, you know, what is... I can't help. This came to my mind in the first service. It's like I'm hearing Linus say to Charlie Brown, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." But it's much more serious than that. What Christmas is about is the grace of God has appeared. Now, what does that mean? It's a clear reference to the incarnation, that the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, has taken on human flesh and has become one of us. He existed from eternity past. He took on human flesh, was born in that manger, and became Emmanuel, God with us. That's the grace of God has appeared. It's telling us that grace is a person, the person of Jesus. I like what R.C. Sproul had to say about the birth of Jesus and about what this means. What we celebrate at Christmas is not so much the birth of a baby, but the incarnation of God himself. That's what we're talking about, what we celebrate so much. The Son of God becoming, taking on human flesh. If you're able to look, and I'll look at it for us, verse 13 explains more what this means for the grace of God appears, which says that we're waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a statement. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is truly God and truly man. That's historic biblical Christianity. That's what we're celebrating. It's miraculous. For God to take on human flesh, as I read one author put it, it's like putting an aircraft carrier in your bathtub. How does it work? How does it fit? It's beyond our comprehension because God ultimately is beyond our comprehension. God's grace has appeared because God's grace is a person, the Lord Jesus. Well, why did he appear? The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. bringing rescue, bringing deliverance. Well, how did that happen? Verse 14, who gave himself for us to redeem us. To redeem us. Redemption, that's a word you hear in church often. It describes the work of Jesus. He redeemed us. He purchased us with his own blood. He purchased us from sin's penalty and its power. He gave himself for us. He set us free. We live in a world that needs redemption. We've experienced a hard year. We want it behind us. And things just seem to be getting tougher and harder and more difficult. God sent his son on a rescue mission to rescue us, again, from the consequences of sin. But he also promises a great and glorious consummation, a restoration, making all things new. It's all the outworking, the consequences of redemption. And we need that redemption. We can't earn it. We can't earn God's favor. We can't earn his acceptance because we've been born in Adam. We share in his sin. We share in the consequences of his action. We don't want to be one with Adam. And we're all born that way. We need to be and want to be one with Jesus. I want to ask for a show of hands, but I would imagine most, if not all of you, have a Christmas tree in your home. Whether you have an artificial tree or a, quote, real tree, and I put that in quotes for this reason, an artificial tree and a real tree in your home have this in common. They're both dead, right? Your tree may have come from, if you bought a real one, it may come from North Carolina. They put it on a refrigerated truck and drove it down to Lowe's or Home Depot or one of these roadside places. You bought it, you put it in your living room, and you're vacuuming up the needles, right? That's what happens because it's dead, it's dying. But what do we do with those trees? Well, we put lights on them. We put ornaments on them. We dress them up. And it's a great picture of our need. You see, really and truly, we may look alive. We may think we're alive. We may think that God should accept us. Our ornaments are our own good works and our own good efforts. But inside, we're truly dead. We're born dead in our transgressions and sins. And we need the work of Jesus to redeem us, to bring salvation. So the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation, lastly, for all people. If you were here this past Sunday, we spent a lot of time talking about that it's very, very significant that these angels made a proclamation to shepherds, that shepherds were on the lowest rung of the cultural ladder, the society ladder of their day. They worked with animals. They smelled bad. In a Jewish society, it was tough for them to be ritually clean, ceremonially clean because of what they did for a living. Their testimonies were not allowed in courts of law because they were viewed as thieves. And it's to shepherds that the angels proclaim this message, that unto you is born this day, unto you shepherds, really for all people. So no matter what your background, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're wrestling with, it's Christ's work redeems you from the penalty and power and consequences of sin. And you need his work. You dare not trust in your own righteousness. It's a message for all people. You know, if the message of Christmas really is just about the birth of a baby, if that's all it is, then we're Narnia, right? And there's no Aslan, and it's always winter, and it's never Christmas. You say, what are you talking about? Then you have a reading assignment. Go read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, right? Perhaps you saw the film. The picture of life without Jesus is a land where it's always winter and never Christmas. But there is a Christmas, and we're here to celebrate it. There is a reason for joy. Our sins are forgiven. The burden of sin has been broken. And there is the promise of restoration and renewal. So what does this all mean? Well, it means the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the good news. We pray you'd help us to understand more deeply and more fully why this is truly a message of joy for us. We need it. Our circumstances are hard. This season is hard for many people for a wide range of reasons. Would you remind us how you were willing to enter our world? And from the moment of the birth of Jesus, it was a life of suffering to be born in those humble circumstances. He who had received unbroken praise from eternity past born and laid in that manger. Lord, give us hearts to worship, hearts to be grateful, hearts to trust the good news, hearts to be joyful. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to continue to remember why this news is so good and to celebrate it in a special way. And so I would encourage you to find your candle and take a hymnal and turn to 210, 210. We're going to sing the four verses of Silent Night. I'm going to go and light my candle from the Christ candle. And I'm going to share my flame with the HLPC players who are going to do some double duty tonight and help share the flame is a picture of sharing the joy of Christ tonight. And while we're passing the flame, Josh will play through Silent Night once, and then after he's played it through once, then we'll begin singing all four verses together. So please get your candles ready and let me have some help. Well, may the joy of Christ, the joy of the gospel, be yours in abundance this season. Amen. Merry Christmas. If you'll kindly put your blown out candles in the foyer in the tub, we'll be most grateful. Good night.